Okay, now you can come up and blow the trumpet, Zach.
Jacqueline.
Or Jacqueline. Sorry, Zachal. Whatever your name is.
Get off the mic then.
Well, Zach, the first one was better, but that was good enough, believe me. And so we're recording. Well, we're one of Messiah congregation, Kahacha B'Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God, and today's the Sabbath. Let's ask God to bless and anoint this study, and we'll continue on. Heavenly Father, Lord and God, Master of the Universe, bless and anoint this day. I pray you'll bind every devil away from us, rebuke Satan. Bless and anoint this day. Put a wall of fire around and about us, caution us from any evil. I pray, Lord and God, that you send in brothers and sisters that are true and faithful. May God bless every one of you, heal you and strengthen you and always be with you. May God help us in every endeavor. Father God, look down upon us today. Rebuke the devil away from us and give us total shalom in the Messiah. Amen. Shabbat shalom.
Amen.
Amen. Well, here we are. We're not on Maple Street at the moment. What street is this?
Cedar.
We're on Cedar Street in Cheryl's house. Behind me is the cabinets, I guess you guys can see. But anyway, our phone numbers are still the same. Our website's down at the moment. They're fixing the electricity at our church. And you could always email me, so that's always working. Today is August 12th, 2017, in the 21st century. And you know about Augustus Caesar, right? Correct? You guys all know about that. Today's the 12th. We acknowledge the calendar of God. We're in the fifth month of God, the 19th day. Judaism calls this month Av, which is not in the Hebrew Bible, nor is it scriptural. My ministry is a teaching ministry to bring up topics in the Bible that's never been discussed or mentioned in your life. They've been deleted from your knowledge. You haven't even a clue. They're missing. So I try to undelete some of these things for you. Soon again, right now my server is down because it's unplugged, but soon again you'll be able to read them, listen to them, watch them, and I guess download them to MP3 players. Really happy that we have a location here that we could, this is Plan B we're at. And we have internet connection, and I thank you. I'm really thank God we could be here. Right, I'm not streaming today, but I am on Paltalk. And I always want to go around the country and teach the Hebrew roots. I'd like to be invited again to some schools or some, places to preach the gospel, it's important. Whether they listen or not, it's still important. So I'm always available. There's a schedule. Today's topic is always two paths to travel. And that's one thing I got to say. There's always two paths to go. So I wanted to read some good advice and some lessons that I recorded on this study. They're below. We're going to read them. In the letter to the Philippians, it says, be careful for nothing. And that means take thought for everything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
Yeah.
Amen. So we do that. We're careful for nothing. Yeshua said, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And that's really important. So we got to watch out for these doctrines that are floating around and the instructions. So doctrine means instruction, and it's the function or the information. It's the learning or the teachings that are floating around. That's what doctrine is. And they're definitely floating around through the internet, through websites, through social media, I guess books, magazines, DVDs, whatever you have. You got to be careful. False versions of the Bible we've been coming in contact with. 2 Corinthians, we're just like the people that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, unlike Saul. He says, for we're not of many which corrupt the word of God, Now, in most phony Bibles, or I should say erroneous Bibles, it says, what does this say about, they don't say corrupt the Word of God, they say they're selling the Word of God, or something to that effect, right? Carrie.
I was reading that Bible.
Okay. But our Bible says, we're not of many which corrupt the Word of God, and they say, we're not of many that, I think it's like, sell the Word of God.
Well, that's
peddling.
They say
peddling.
Peddle
the word. Right. So that shows you how.
What does that mean?
And that doesn't mean a lot, really. It's very confusing because that's not what the Greek says and that's not what the English says. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we also have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. And that's really important. We don't handle the word of God deceitfully. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Amen. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, Satan, had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Messiah, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And that's a really important verse right there. So we see that the gospel can be hid from people. Because of Satan. Peter tells us, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, had written unto you, as also in all his, that's Paul's epistles, his letters, speaking in them of these things, which in some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest pervert. As they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. And that's something that's really important to remember. So people really pervert, as you know, all the different churches. That's why there's so many different churches, because they misinterpret Apostle Paul's letters.
They didn't even have the Gospels and letters then.
Huh?
They didn't even have the Gospels and letters.
No, they didn't. But they misinterpret Paul's letters.
Yeah.
It's very, very sad. It says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And that shows you there's no eternal security. But grow in grace, which we hope, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. And what they do is they try to, all these Bibles, they alter, and they are different in every way. I need to be excused for 1 second. I'll be right back.
Okay. I could keep on going. Yes.
You like the movies, huh? I like the
movies. It's getting old.
Pause.
I guess we could take it out. Yeah. Thank you. Sometimes you get so busy you forget to call. All of this, all of that. Thank you. trees probably thought she lost her sound.
You probably thought she lost her sound.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Okay, so anyway, getting back to Corinthians, it says, 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, who is known as Hava, through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is the Messiah." And the Bible is really simple, you know, but Satan tries to make everything so complicated. It says, "For if he that comes preaches another Yeshua, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which we have not accepted, you might well bear with him." In other words, you might actually receive the doctrine or submit yourself to his authority or prefer him to the apostles. This is what Paul was saying, which is very bad.
Right. In other words, stick with him.
In other words, even at the time of Yeshua, or at the time of the apostles, I guess after Yeshua, there was other gospels, other spirits, other Jesuses or Yeshuas, people, you know, imposters.
Yeah.
And Paul echoes that in the letter to the Galatians. He says, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him, that's the Messiah, that called you into the grace of, that's God, that called you into the grace of Messiah, unto another gospel." So there we have another gospel right there again, which is, it really isn't another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Messiah.
Wait, there's only one gospel.
So we see, even back then, I guess there was other writings, people misinterpreted the Lord and went around preaching false doctrine and false messiahs. And today it's tremendous, tremendous today. It says, but Apostle Paul is very bold. Because I don't think I've ever said anything like this. "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed."
That's right.
That's how drastic it really is.
I know.
That's how, because they're preaching a false Yeshua, a false doctrine.
Yeah.
Let him be accursed. And Paul is so bold, he says it twice. And he says, "As I said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed.
Wow.
What do you think of that?
You want to make sure
I say, let
him
be accursed.
Amen.
That's strong. That's very strong.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it.
Okay. Yeshua says, "Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Messiah, or there, don't believe it.
No.
For there shall arise false messiahs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they might even deceive you, the very elect." So you got to be careful about these coming false miracles and false messiahs. He said, "Behold, I've told you before." So he's definitely informed us and cautioned us, you know. That's Matthew 24:23. He says, "Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, don't go."
Don't go.
He's in the they always bring in the secret chambers to make it sound mysterious, you know, a secret. The secret chambers. Believe it not.
It's not there.
It's not in Jerusalem. "For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, even so also shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So just by reading that, where's he going to be?
He's coming out
of the east in the clouds.
He's not going to be on this earth.
He's not going to be on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Luke says the same thing, and he said unto his disciples, "The days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, you shall not see it. And they shall say to you, there he is, or there he goes.
Mm-hmm.
See here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them."
Mm-hmm.
He's not on the earth.
That's right.
"For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part of under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day."
Mm-hmm.
So it's very clear. He's coming in the clouds.
Clear.
He's coming from the eastern skies, and every eye is going to see him. He's not in those secret chambers, right?
No secret chambers.
He's never been secret chambers.
He's not secret. He does everything open.
He was always after
me. It says, "Whoso transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Messiah, you don't have God." What do you think of that?
I think that's a scary place that a lot of people are at.
If you don't have the right doctrine, you don't have God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you don't have the right Messiah, you have the false Messiah, false doctrine. Mm-hmm. He that abides in the doctrine of the Messiah, he had both the Father and the Son.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, here's something we should always do. Now, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, don't even let them come into your house and don't bid them Godspeed. So anyone who tries to come to your house and preach a different doctrine, say, excuse me, go somewhere else. Yeah.
Or
anyone. That could be your parents that bring a different doctrine.
If they bring a gospel, you have to stop them.
You have to stop them. Say either you're going to stop talking about that or leave, because I don't want that in my house. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is your partaker of the evil deeds. That's how simple it is. So if you visit, that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. Romans, Paul tells the Romans, he says, I beseech you, brethren, mark them. Put a little mark by them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. So anyone that brings another doctrine and has another gospel, and has another Bible, really, another word of God. Mm-hmm. Imagine at the time of Yeshua, there's people rewriting his words. So how about now? For they that are such serve not our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. Mm-hmm. That's how simple it is. Isn't that terrible? I always find that amazing, because it's always with something that sounds sweet and kind. That's how the devil tricks. It says, Paul writes to the Ephesians, and he says, we're supposed to be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. We're not desiring new doctrines or new philosophies, right?
No, we just
want to
learn this one better.
It's enough. Yeah, it's enough what we have.
One book.
It's nice to have all you guys on the microphone today. This is great. So chime in when you want.
One book, one God, one Spirit.
That's right. So we don't want to be tossed to and fro at every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
We've been there.
You're not supposed to do that. Yeah. We know what we believe in, and we can prove what we believe in, right?
Yes,
the Bible
absolutely.
Says to prove all things, which we found out most people don't like to prove anything.
No, they don't.
Now, I've been sending study after study after study to certain people about Bible versions, and they can't get it. And
that's because they don't.
Then I start seeing how spiritually blind they really are.
Spiritually blind.
They can't be, they're not of God, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway, Paul says, he's an apostle of Yeshua the Messiah by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, which is our hope.
Yay.
And he's writing unto Timothy. This is called a letter. In the Greek it's epistle, but in the English it's a letter.
This is the letter.
He says, my son Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Yeshua the Messiah our Lord. He said, I besought you to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou... you might charge some that they teach no other doctrine. I know they're trying to do that to you, Timothy. Make sure they don't teach any other doctrine. And make sure they don't give heed to fables and endless genealogies, because they're only going to minister questions and put people in doubt rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. That's what I want you to do. Yeah. Now the goal, the result of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith genuine, unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, they turned aside unto vain jangling. They got this idle talking and just erroneous, they even call it intellectualism nowadays, because they desire to be teachers of the Torah, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. And I've seen this just recently again. You guys heard me say this numerous times. The Messianics were following Judaism, so they fell in the pit. And now there's Protestant ministers that think they found the Torah, and they're following Messianics that follow Judaism that have fallen in the pit. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's desiring to be a teacher.
Not everyone is.
They think they are.
Yeah.
We all fall.
No, I wasn't desiring to do anything. I was just in my house. I don't know how this even happened to me.
We couldn't find a place.
I couldn't find a place.
That's right.
Paul writes to Timothy and he says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed.
Yes.
And God's doctrine is being blasphemed today. It's being changed. It's being altered.
Terrible.
It's being rewritten.
Awful. Mm-hmm.
And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren. So if you have brothers and sisters that are bosses over you, don't despise them, because they're actually people of God also. But do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. So basically, like if I had a business and you all work there, don't treat me bad, and I'm not going to treat you bad. Right?
Right.
Now, if any person teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, they're obviously, we've seen it, they're proud. They know nothing.
That's true.
But doting about questions and strifes of words, they always use the Greek word and the Hebrew.
Yeah.
Whereof comes envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Some people, I've heard people say, well, I got so many people in my congregation, why don't I listen to you? You got a couple of people.
Huh.
From such, turn away, withdraw yourself. It never says go have a prayer meeting for them or lay hand, you know, let's all get together and pray. It says get away from them. Withdraw yourself from them. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen.
Yes.
If we brought nothing into this world, amen, and it's certain, it is certain, we can bring nothing, we can carry nothing out, right?
That's right.
Yes.
That is certain.
That is certain.
You've never seen the U-Haul follow a hearse. Right?
No,
they never. All your stuff is going to, somebody else is going to get it.
Let them have it.
So having food and raiment, so if you have just food and raiment, let us be there with content. Yeah.
It's like everybody here is dressed. I guess we are.
And Paul writes these letters. Some of them sound very current, you know, even for today. And this is almost, you know, 2,000 years later.
Yes.
He says, the Spirit tells Timothy, the Spirit speaks expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. These doctrines are flowing everywhere, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Some people forbid to marry.
Catholics.
Yes. And commanding to abstain from meats.
Catholics.
Yeah. Which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. Amen.
That means every clean creature.
Yeah.
Of course.
If you're going to eat it, it means every clean creature. And if you're not going to eat it, it's just every creature of God is good that he made.
That's true.
It's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. I thank God for every creature. I see the little lizards that are unclean running through my house. I talk to them. Turtles.
Running through your house.
I mean, not my house. In front of my house, excuse me.
Front porch.
Front porch. My wife is right to the left of me, correcting me immediately.
Well, I don't think we have lizards in our house.
Okay.
Yay.
Anyway, it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. But foolish and unlearned questions,
avoid.
Does it say entertain them?
No,
it says avoid them. They disgender strifes. And the servant of Jehovah must not strive, but be gentle unto all men.
Strive.
Apt to teach, and patient. I try to do that with some people, but they just, they don't reciprocate the same feelings. In meekness, instructing the, I try to instruct those that oppose themselves.
But sometimes that don't work.
I see people opposing themselves, and just, they won't get out of like false doctrine or false Bible versions or false whatever.
Whatever they got false.
If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of who?
The devil.
The devil,
of course.
Who are taken captive by him at his will. They don't even realize they're being captive by Satan.
Try to make him see it.
Paul says, I charge thee, Timothy, before God and Jehovah, the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the real word and be instant in season, out of season. That means always study your Bible and have the right answer. Make sure you reprove people. If you have to, rebuke them. Exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and I think it's here,
yes.
They will not endure sound doctrine. No, sound doctrine is gone. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That's false teachers, of course. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. And guess what? They'll be turned unto fables. Oh, boy. I see people doing that in the messianic world. They think that anybody with that has a Jewish hint of flavor to them, people are bowing down to them. It says, but avoid foolish questions. He tells Titus, avoid foolish questions. Paul has to tell this to Timothy and Titus and all the people that are under him. You know, notice how it's the same devil with the same things that happen in every congregation.
That's the same thing.
Avoid foolish questions, genealogies, contentions and strivings about the law, the Torah, because they're unprofitable and vain. A person that's a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sins because he's condemned of himself. That's really important to know. So anyone who debates doctrine with you after the first and second admonition, reject.
You kind of failed in that one.
No, I was going through Bible versions. Well, I like this is Apostle Paul's advice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And my advice is to I try to exhaust the matter, and I do it.
We definitely give people the benefit of trying to learn. Maybe they'll get it.
Paul tells the Hebrews, he says, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. We definitely don't do that. Divers and strange doctrines are the variety and multitude of other doctrines, even today in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a host of them.
There's probably a lot more now.
There's probably an ocean full of doctrines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there is things.
And this is what the people that I've been talking to, this is what they remind me of. And this is certain people I've been talking to lately. So they feared Jehovah. This is 2 Kings 17.
Mm-hmm.
They say they fear Jehovah, and they made unto themselves of the lowest of the priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the houses of their high places. That's verse 32. Verse 33 says, and they feared Jehovah, and they served their own gods.
So they really didn't.
After the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence, whom they were carried away from.
They said that.
Sound like a good lip service.
So these nations, again, feared Jehovah, and they served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day, and so they do unto this day that we live in today.
So these nations feared Jehovah, It should be.
Well, we're going to go to I left out verse 34. Unto this day they do after the former manners. They fear not Jehovah.
Yeah.
He was saying that fictitiously, or
yes.
I would say facetiously.
Facetiously.
Neither do they after their statutes or after their ordinances or after the law, the Torah, and the commandments, which Jehovah commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom Jehovah had made a covenant and charged them, saying, you shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But Jehovah, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and stretched out arm, him shall you fear, him shall you worship, and to him shall you do sacrifice. And the statutes and the ordinances and the Torah and the commandments which he wrote for you, you shall observe to do for what?
Evermore.
Yeah. You shall not fear other gods.
You shouldn't fear other gods, because
there are nothing. There are no other gods.
Right. There are
none. And the covenant that I made with you, you shall not forget, neither shall you fear other gods. How many times does he have to tell us that? But Jehovah your God ye shall fear. He shall deliver you out of the hand of your enemies. Howbeit, They did not hearken, but they did after their former manner. That's why I felt this week. I kept telling these people and telling them and telling them and telling them about the erroneous Bible versions and going over scriptures and going over, you know, matching them and showing them, like, I'm serious, like hundreds of verses and different, you know, different things. And I went nowhere. I feel akin to Ezekiel many times. I feel just like Ezekiel. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of their houses. I know people are talking against me right now. And they're probably talking against you, too, if you're telling the truth.
Probably.
And one, and speak one to another, and every one to his brother, saying, come, I will pray, I pray you, and hear what is the word that comes forth from Jehovah. Yeah, sure. In other words, they're mocking, they're mocking Ezekiel. And, you know, they might come unto you as the people come, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear your words, but they will not do them. For after their mouth they show much love. There's that love from their mouth. They just love you. Person will kept saying, and blessings to you and yours, after he told me that I was such a scoundrel for speaking the truth.
That's odd.
Yeah.
No, it's not odd. It's just what they do to Ezekiel.
But I mean, it's ridiculous.
But they show much love with their mouth, but their heart goes after their covetousness. They covet a position. They want to be leaders. They want to be pastors, and they don't even know what they're teaching. And lo, thou art unto them a very lovely song, and one that had a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument.
Right.
They really enjoyed when we played the other day, too. You know, they love hearing our music. For they hear your words, but they're not going to do them. They do them not. And when it comes to pass, lo will come, then shall they know that a prophet had been among them. And I pray that God would show these people that we're people here, and we're people of God. And we're not just trying to, we have nothing to gain. It's nothing to our benefit. We're only trying to help people. Make straight the way of the Lord. Years later, Yeshua said the same message, basically. In John, he said, this is the condemnation. Condemnation. That's John 3:19. That light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds really are evil. They just covet a position in God and they want to be something. You know, they want to be on the headlines, and they want to be on the front page, and they want to be the one. I never heard of when you're new at something, you should be the leader. Did you ever hear anything like that?
In a job,
you don't do that in a job, do you?
No,
hopefully
not. But in the messianic world, you see that people.
It happens all the time.
It happens all the time.
Yeah, it seems to happen.
So I always hear Yeshua say, not everyone that says unto me, this is me, Yeshua. This is Yeshua talking. He says, not everyone that says unto me, Yeshua, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me, Yeshua, in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? I had a person say to me this week, I was trying to go over the Bible versions, and he said to me, well, I just baptized a few people, and our congregation is, you know, getting bigger, things are going good. Well, in thy name, I've done many wonderful works, and then I'll profess unto them, I didn't forget you, I just never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Because if you're preaching a false word to someone and false doctrine, what's heresy? That's one of the elements, one of the items that Paul puts in his list of people that will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you preach heresy.
99% of the churches are.
Therefore, whosoever hears the sayings of mine and does them, these are the people that do the sayings of God. He'll liken unto you a wise person who built their house upon the rock. and the rains can just beat on it, and the floods can come, and the winds can just blow their brains out, and they could beat upon the house, and it's not going to fall. You know why? It's founded upon a rock. That rock is Messiah. Amen. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not, it's like they built their house upon the sand. They're foolish. Would you build your house upon the sand? And the rain's going to descend, you know that, sooner or later. And the floods are going to come one a day. And the winds are going to blow sooner or later. And they're going to beat upon your house, and it's going to fall. And great is going to be the fall of it. Everyone that's there that you deceived, they're all going to go right into the pit together. This is not a long study, but I hope you got something out of this. In conclusion, my conclusion got a little long here. So anyway, there is still time to change the road you're on. While it's called life and this breath, there's always two paths to travel. So just simply put in Bible versions, you're either on the trail of Antioch, Syria, or Alexandria, Egypt, which is really important. In short, and this information you can find on the net, Antioch, Syria, you'll find Yeshua, the apostles, the letters in the Gospels, the Textus Receptus, and the majority text, which is 95% agrees with the original letters, and it's called the received text. It's also called the Byzantine text. And you also find the Ben Chaim Hebrew, Masoretic Hebrew text. And then you find the King James Version. That's how, and I can make it more intricate, but I wanted to summarize that for you. But in short, on the corrupt path, this is the path going through Alexandria, Egypt, you'll find Philo and Marcion and Origen and Clement and Eusebius and others.
Jerome.
Yeah, I should put Jerome in there. He wrote his own Vulgate, his own Greek, Latin. His own Latin manuscript, which is not the old Latin Vulgate,
right.
Which is the real one. I should add him too. I might have to add him. He's deserving to be in the list. They're altering and they're adding and deleting from the letters in the Gospels. their text used to be called the minority text. Today they're trying to call it the critical text, which is ridiculous because all they're doing is taking all the it's critically ill because all they're doing is taking all the corrupt Bibles and blending them together.
That's all they're doing.
And then, of course, in time, there was the Roman Catholic Church,
mm-hmm.
and then the Sinaiticus and the Vaticanus.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on in life, there was Westcott and Hort. They made up their own Greek manuscript from the Sinaiticus.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Nestle-Aland Greek text, which is used nowadays, which comes from the Westcott and Hort. And then we have the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament. And every modern Bible version, including the NIV and the RSV and the ESV and the ASV and the NASB and the ENEV and even the New King James Version and others, they all come from these erroneous Greek manuscripts, and they all have the Ben Asher Hebrew text from the 10th century. And the Ben Asher text was thrown into the Biblica Hebraica, and even in 1937 we'll go up to, there's a guy called Kittle. He changed the Hebrew text from the Ben Chaim to the Ben Asher text in 1937 edition and had almost 20,000 changes from the Ben Chaim text.
That's a lot.
And then in 1966, there was a further revision of Kittle's Biblica Hebraica called Biblica... I don't know how to say that. I'm not German. It's the Hebraicia Stugatzianzia. Stugatzianzia, however you say it, which was also based on the Ben Asher Hebrew. That's what I'm getting. That's the point.
Right. Mm-hmm.
However you say that. We'll get our German teacher to come up and tell us what that says.
So, yeah.
We'll have Brother Zach come up later and tell us how to say that correct in German. Anyway, this new edition of Kittel's is generally referred to as the BHS, The revision was the work of unbelieving German rationalists and presents theologically liberal modernism in its worst form. In 1937, the BHS and the BHK and the newer BHS not only based on a few few minor Hebrew manuscripts which contain many erroneous footnotes, but corrections were often made to this already inadequate and corrupt text by referring to such things as the Septuagint or the LXX, which is nothing more than the Hebrew scriptures translated into this polluted Greek language.
It's been rumored that Origen did that.
Yeah. The Septuagint is a poor translation at best of the Hebrew due to mainly to the fact that it does not follow the verbal and formal rules of the translation, and it's largely a paraphrase, changing the wording whenever the translators desired, seeking to clarify the meaning of the original, they say, which we know it's totally ridiculous. According to the Encyclopedia Judaica, which I have, in 1971, its author, Rudolf Kittel, was an anti-Semite and a believer in Hellenistic mystery religions. His son, Gerhard Kittel, was tried and convicted at Nuremberg as a Nazi war criminal. Just think, most of the Protestant pastors don't know this. Gerhard Kittel gave open theological support for Hitler's extermination of Jews during the Nazi Holocaust. He's the one who authored the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, which is in almost every pastor's library that bear his name. Many seminaries use it today, today. And this guy was a Nazi. Can you believe that? Convicted of war crimes. His father's Hebrew text, known as the Biblia Hebraica, like I was talking about earlier, is based on the Leningrad B-19A manuscript of the Old Testament, of the Tanakh. The Catholic-led translation committee for several other modern versions of the Bible use it also. They have all their Bibles they use today, even the Jehovah's Witness version. The Textus Receptus followed the Masoretic text, like I was telling you earlier. Rudolf's Kittel Biblia Hebraica doesn't follow that.
Actually, the KJV. The Textus Receptus is the Gospels and Martyrs.
Right.
The KJV.
The KJV, the Textus Receptus, is the Greek, and the Bet Chaim is the Hebrew, which is the King James Version.
Right.
Rudolf Kittel's Biblia Hebraica has the Ben Asher Hebrew and the Leningrad Codex. Anyway, making a story a little shorter, as Yeshua put it, in Matthew 7:13, he says, "Enter you in the straight gate. Wide is the gate, broad is the way." And it really is broad. That's why they call it Broadway. You ever notice that? Every city has its Broadway, where all the red light districts are, and all the drugs and all the things go on that lead to destruction, and many there be that go in their rat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leads unto life, and only a few. Just think, only a few. And it makes me sad, because I would think, I'm the kind of guy, if somebody presented me with all the evidence that I presented these other people, I would actually change what I believed and use a different Bible version. And I would read it so thoroughly, and I'd be so upset. And I would be alarmed that everything was so changed. They took away the deity of Yeshua. They took away he's the Alpha and the Omega. They took away the blood in many verses. They took away that he is God in the flesh. They took away that he is not, there's no controversy. Great was the mystery of godliness. God is manifest in the flesh. These people didn't even care. Matter of fact, they couldn't even understand what I was saying. And I was showing them their Bible versions erased everything. That's to show you how we're not in this is not a academic intellectual exchange. It's a spiritual spiritual dialogue, because they cannot see what you're saying. Because usually you would think a smart person can see that your Bible says Yeshua is God in the flesh. The other one says Yeshua is just, he's in the flesh. or something, you know, ridiculous. He's not God. Anyway, to sum this up, what Yeshua says, just remember, wide, broad, many, and destruction, as opposed to straight, narrow, few, and life. You choose. So I tell, and the Lord says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. You know, I say you choose.
We will serve the Lord.
So, you know, this simple study, you know, I could take pieces of Paul's letters and pieces of the gospel and blend it in with histories that you could find of the Bible versions, which I don't understand why people can't look it up themselves.
And it's not just Bible versions in the study. It's you have to choose to keep the commandments. You have to choose to do what it says.
Some people
can't just have the right Bible. Many people do.
That's right. Some people even have the King James Version, and
they still don't even see
the rest of it.
Keep the Ten Commandments.
That's right.
We have people today that even know about the Sabbath, and they don't know about the seven of the Sabbaths and the Feasts of God. And they don't even keep the Feasts of God.
And then
they're trying to correct me.
I
told this one person, I said, you know, I am a scholar. A scholar is someone that thoroughly studies out something and has done it for years and can verify exactly what he's talking about. And I said, also, I had the opportunity to teach in different places. And I am a counselor. I am an actual minister of the Criminal Justice Center in Franklin. I'm not just, didn't wake up last week. And I don't say this in pride. I say it humbly that I could try to make straight the way of the Lord. And I said, by the way, where were you in 1972? They weren't even born. They were just born. And here they are trying to correct an older person. I always take note at older people. I even take note at younger people what they say, because they might know something I never heard. And you should take note of everything and always weigh the evidence and verify things. Do that with everything you hear. And matter of fact, in every subject matter in your life, you know, whether it's health, whether it's Bible studies, whether it's, I don't know, legal things, always try to verify if something's true or false. And even in your life, in simple matters, something's either true or false. There's always two roads to take, the true road or the false way. And it always gets down to repent or perish. Get in or get out, shape up or ship out, right?
A lot of times what stops you is pride and arrogance.
Pride and arrogancy and people desiring to be teachers is a killer.
It's a killer.
And that's very sad. We had an opportunity to meet some more people, and they even admitted they didn't know about the feast and they weren't keeping it, and they knew it was sin. And then they're trying to teach us.
Yeah. So.
And I don't understand that.
They never stop to even listen. They just talk.
They just talk over it. That's because they just want to be leaders.
That's what most people do anyway.
But anyway, I'm going to stop here, and we can continue on. I thank you guys for being so up close today. You guys are so up close. Is there anything else you guys want to say before we depart?
Great study.
Thank you.
Very good.
But I mean, there might be some comments from some of the
and anybody online would like to come up before I close the study. I hope you got something out of this. I'll open the room for some comments. Go right ahead. Don't all run to the mic at once.
Here comes Teresa.
Shabbat Shalom, family. I'm enjoying being here, listening to this wonderful study with Teresa and my new sister, Olga. Praise Yah.
Well, thank you very much. I hope you got something out of the study, and may God be with everyone. Well, if there's no other comments, nobody else has a comment? All right. Well, I'll say God bless you and Shabbat Shalom.
We'll be back on.
And Lord willing, we'll try to come back a little bit later. Mm-hmm. If the video is a little dark, let me try to put the light on a little bit. Hold on a second. There. Well, it's still a little dark, but that's the way it goes. Anyway, God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for this study, and let us always choose the right path where the few are, Father.
Amen.
We see it's narrow, we see it's straight, and that's where life is. And may as we choose, may us all choose that path in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you and Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
We'll be back, Lord willing, in an hour.
Do they want us to keep the room open?
And Carrie wants to know if you want to leave the room open. I'm going to stop the video. Shabbat Shalom.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stop the audio real quick.